Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's interesting that this text is paired with the text about what defiles a person. And in fact, if you look in the book here, it says Matthew 15, brackets, 10 through 20, which is a signal for you don't really need to read these if you don't want to. And then 21 through 28, because they're often treated as two stories. As I studied this text this week, I thought, of course, they belong together. And I had never made the connection before as to why. You know the story. The disciples, there's this whole eating with sinners and eating things that you're not supposed to eat. And there's a huge controversy that, in fact, the disciples are not true Jews because they are not following the dietary laws. Jesus doesn't even seem to be all that terribly concerned about it. Because remember, if you were an Orthodox Jew, you had certain things that you could eat and certain things that you couldn't eat as a part of your faith journey. It was important, and it's important that we don't minimize that or ridicule that part of faith. But as often happens, Jesus takes and turns that idea on its head. He sees that people are very careful about what they eat and making sure that they follow the law right down to the letter. But don't seem to be too terribly concerned about what comes back out. And they say and do things that are not consistent with the faith. So that Jesus will turn the dietary laws on their head and say, you know, it isn't what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Honestly, sounds just like my Southern Baptist grandmother. Watch your mouth, Jeffrey. It's what comes out of your mouth. Don't you see that whatever goes into your mouth just enters the stomach and comes out where it will? But what comes out of your mouth changes lives. The connection with Jesus is that it isn't what goes into his mouth that is so offensive. It's what comes out. When a woman comes to him and asks him to heal her daughter, Jesus says something that seemed maybe at the moment so reasonable. No, I won't do that because I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You are not that kind. You're beyond, as we say in business, my scope of responsibility. Or as we say a lot of times, we use this thing in the church all the time for bishop's assistants. They say, that's not in my portfolio. Well, the lost sheep of Israel are in Jesus' portfolio, but not the Gentiles. And then the interchange. What came out of Jesus' mouth was so unexpected, or should be so unexpected for us. We shouldn't expect him to say that. Because we preach every day and we say it in our music and in our songs and in our poetry in the Christian church. All are welcome in this place. There is no east or west in Christ. It's all good. You're all welcome, just like you are, Gentiles, whatever you are. But not Jesus. It takes her interchange to open his eyes, to be able to say a new word. Even the dogs receive the crumbs that fall from the tables. Even those who are most unworthy and just lie around and do nothing and have no worth in society even get the meagerest of food. What about that? How great is your faith, he says. Let it be done for you as you wish. Imagine how different the world would be, how different Christianity would be, had Jesus not spoken those words. I think we miss the power of this scene, because it's upon this that Paul will build the idea that his mission is to the Gentiles. That Christ's mission is more than a movement within Judaism proper, a kind of reform movement, and instead a transforming movement. In those words, woman, how great is your faith, and in the healing of her daughter, the mission opens up in a way that no one expects. In 1961, then Senator Robert Kennedy, I just heard this on NPR the other day, went to South Africa. Very few people even know that he ever went to South Africa. But if you go there and you poll people who are about 40 to 45 years old, you will find an inordinate number of them named Kennedy. He stood up before a crowd of people and he said, I come and I greet you. And he said, I greet you as a nation who was born with tremendous wealth, natural resources, who has a history of enslaving others, who is, and he goes on this litany of things about, and as you're listening to his speech, you get the sense, oh my gosh, what's he doing? He's naming all the sins of the Dutch in South Africa, right? He's in their backyard. What are you thinking? And this goes on for quite a ways, and he says, and of course, I know you know what country I'm talking about? The United States. With that word, he connected with young people in a terribly unexpected way. In the same way that Jesus very unexpectedly turns the tide and changes his word, Kennedy spoke of the terrible price of apartheid. It made a difference. It made a difference because he also understood that change was needed, that it was absolutely necessary to see people as they are, fully formed and human and loved by God, regardless of race or creed or history. Words are important, and it's important that they be spoken. Had Jesus not had the courage to repent, had Jesus not had the spirit and the courage to speak in that way to this Gentile woman, I wonder what would have happened. And so what have we done with that word to the Gentile woman? Well, we all got to be Christians. Ever think of that? Otherwise, all you men, circumcision. I'll just leave it at that. You would have had to become good, practicing Orthodox people before you could have repented and reformed. You see, what Jesus is about is not just reformation, but transformation. He transforms the idea of what God is doing in the world to include not only those who are considered acceptable and chosen, but says God has chosen all of God's people. God has called all of God's people. Now let's be clear, Paul is right. This is a terrible thing among modern evangelical Christianity, is that somewhere along the way, someone got the idea that in choosing the Gentiles, God unchose the people of Israel. And Paul says, no, didn't happen. You just got added on, adopted, pulled into the family, called God's own, embraced with God's wider embrace. So Jesus repented and a woman was healed. Jesus repented and the ministry grew. Jesus repented and changed, and with those words, the world is changed and continues to change. So that we too can say to those who maybe don't quite look like us or smell like us or act like us or who cry too much in church, which we really love, you are healed and you are part of God's kingdom. You are welcome in the deepest and most profound way with the word of Christ. Amen.